You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Frankie Barnhill, filling in for Gemma Gaudette. This year, we celebrated the 100th anniversary of women's suffrage. And while this was a great accomplishment for the movement and gave so many more Americans the right to vote, we also know that the constitutional amendment only applied to white women, leaving out countless other groups. It wasn't until much, much later that Black women, Indigenous people, immigrants, and other marginalized groups were allowed to vote. Even today, legal experts say that targeted voter suppression still minimizes the votes of these demographics in the United States. Brandi Burns is the History Programs Manager at the City of Boise and is joining us today to talk about her recent notes. It's a series of her research on those left out of the suffrage movement here in the capital city in Idaho. Brandi, thanks for being here.
Frankie, thanks for having me.
So, of course, I mean, a lot of this year, the women's suffrage 100-year anniversary was obviously overshadowed by the pandemic, but we did get a little opportunity to celebrate it here and there, and that the 19th Amendment, but who was left out of that law? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, this year, I think, was a year that none of us imagined could have happened, and all of our plans for women's suffrage sort of went out the window, and we did the best that we could. And of course, all of that had to go virtual. And one of the things that we wanted to keep at the center of our commemoration was what we had always set out to do, was to look at those women who had been left out of the traditional narrative for women's suffrage. And I think that, you know, across the country, people did that. And this commemoration, although different than what we all had hoped and imagined, was still better for looking at all of those stories of women left out.
And so tell us, tell me a little bit about the inspiration behind your notes series that's on the website, on the City of Boise's Arts and History website, which we will link to. What was the inspiration for kind of diving deep into each of these different marginalized groups?
Yeah, as a public historian, I was trying to think of, if I was a resident of Boise and I wanted to learn more about where I was living at, how would I want to do that? And being who I am, I wanted to know how I could do that as personably as possible. And then the idea of, you know, having a note from the city historian came to mind, just something that was a little informal, but was really full of good historical research that you could count on, came to mind. And it was really fun to sort of harken back to those times of when you got sent a letter in the mail, although these are sort of virtual letters to residents.
Right, right. Well, I appreciated it kind of like, yeah, a little bit more approachable footnotes for an academic paper, perhaps. And the first one, which seems very appropriate, you highlighted Indigenous women. And of course, Idaho being on territory that was taken from tribes. Tell us about that story, those women who were left out.
Yeah, Indigenous women have not received the due credit that they should for their role in inspiring women's suffrage. I think the best book out that most readers can get is by Sally Rorsch Wagner, who she goes through original documents and shows the role of Native women in providing an example of autonomy. She links the story to Seneca Falls, where, you know, that's sort of the birth of the women's suffrage movement, but notes that it was the Haudenosaunee women who were real leaders of their tribes, and that they provided the example to the original white feminists and at Seneca Falls.
Another of your notes includes something about Latina women, and specifically what is missing really with that history. What do you think the absence of their stories, what does that say about Boise's dominant recorded local history, when it comes to the white folks who would have been the ones recording this story?
Yeah, the Boise Latinas, it was really disappointing to find such an absence. And I think that that absence does speak volumes about who and how they're recording the history of Boise. I do have to say that efforts to document the story of Mexican Americans in Idaho really have been furthered by Errol Jones and Anna Marie Schechtel and Kathleen Hodges. Like, their work was foundational to the research that we did. They, you know, have done this research for a long time, trying to call attention to Mexican Americans in Idaho. And I think their work is really great. And when I wrote the note, I was hoping to just find one woman that I could focus on that could be really inspirational, but I just found that absence. And instead, we were able to find a Mrs. Greer, and of course, Lola Binnard, who was the daughter of Jesus Urquides. And what I loved about finding out about Lola is that she was registered to vote here in Boise. We were able to find that registration record.
Wow.
And yeah, even a quote about how she was active. She talked a lot about politics and was right in the middle of a conversation about that, if there was one going on.
Brandy, I hate to cut you off. There's so much great history. We will link to all of your notes, including a note about Boise's Chinese women. We've been talking with Brandy Burns, the History Programs Manager at the City of Boise. Thank you, Brandy. Thanks, everyone, for tuning to Idaho Matters today. I'm Frankie Barnhill, filling in for Gemma Gaudette.